actually you're an activist. You're an activist, and this is your tool.
The activist, they called an activist.
Artivist. I love that. That's definitely you.
Welcome to the Ripples of Radical Generosity podcast by Coralis, a global community of women and non-binary people making real progress on the world's to-do list. Together, we're transforming the world to become more equitable and sustainable.
I'm MJ Ryan, and I am one of the development guides for Coralis, and I am so excited to be talking to one of our new New Zealand ventures for this year, 2024, and to hear all about her and her amazing success that she's had. I'm happy to be connecting with you, Afana. So please tell us about your venture and who you are.
Kia ora. My name is Afina Murupainga, and I come from the very top of Aotearoa, New Zealand, which is called Te Hiku o Te Ika, or the Tail of the Fish. And I am a product of the re-indigenization and renaissance of our Māori culture. Like many Indigenous people, we were colonized in the 19th century in my homeland of Te Tai Tokerau. And in welcoming settlers to our land, we also embrace Christianity, and it was through the Bible that my people in the north would develop the first written text of our language, which was traditionally an oral language. And then just through colonization, there would be attempts to extinguish our language, our customs, and our land, and things like that. And so I was born in the late 80s when the Kohanga Reo movement started, which is like an early childhood Māori immersion education curriculum. And so yeah, I would go through Kohanga Reo. I attended the first Kura Kaupapa Māori at Hwani Waititi Marae, which is the primary school equivalent, and I would be raised in as close to a Māori way in the modern world that is now, the present time. And so I started there because that is why my business, Whatu Creative, was launched in 2021. Initially, I wanted to respond to the needs of my own people in the far north, which was to grow our capacity to share our storytelling and visual languages through Māori traditional art. But at that time, it was COVID, and so I would have to sort of put on hold that idea of physical workshops and exhibitions, and I instead put one of my ideas into a craft kit that teaches one of our Māori weaving techniques called tukutuku. And I would launch the tukutuku toy kit during the pandemic on Google Form, on Instagram and Facebook, just a simple link. And within 1 hour, I would sell out 200 tukutuku toy kits and make $26,000.
That must have shocked you.
Yeah, it really did. It was very life-changing moment. I didn't have much time to soak it in because I had to make the kits. We had pre-made some, but we didn't think it was going to sell out so quickly. And so yeah, I guess the adrenaline shifted to making the kits, and then I put every single dollar I had into making more, because we launched in October. And I was trying to make more product for the peak season of Christmas. And so, yeah, for about 2.5 years, I've been running Whatu Creative. Originally, we started in the far north, but I've been in Auckland, where I grew up, which is the biggest city of New Zealand. I've been here for the last year, So that my daughters can attend the same kura kaupapa Māori that I attended to. And probably something quite important that I left out was 10 years ago, I had moved from the city where I was raised to my traditional homeland to run a little art gallery on my marae, which is our ancestral houses. And it would be that experience, as well as the way I was born and raised, but particularly being on my own whenua, my own land, and responding to the needs of my own people, I would really foster that innovation and entrepreneurship to then start Whatu Creative.
So I want to go back to your origin story, because when I first met you, one of the things that so impressed me, besides that you had created this thing that was just a phenomenon that just completely successfully exploded or grew in front of your eyes, is your origin story. Because what I got from meeting some older Māori women is that you are an inspiration, because you are the generation that is bringing back, I'm going to cry, bringing back culture and traditions, and then your kits are one of the ways to do that. So what does it feel like to be a role model for people who are older than you even?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's part of our culture when you sort of obtain traditional knowledge, especially and that I was taught by my elders, there is some responsibility to pass it on. Probably one of the things that held me back from maybe launching sooner was I didn't think it was a good idea to profit off mātauranga Māori, off our traditional knowledge. And those were some of the mindset shifts that I had to get past to really succeed in my business, because I had already been teaching children and adults different weaving techniques, but predominantly I was giving my time for free in exchange for being nurtured by my elders. And so I really struggled with that part in terms of monetizing our traditional arts. And I just responded to my local need. And then once I released online and saw that it was actually all over Aotearoa, New Zealand, a lot of Māori people live in Australia. And so they miss home and feel disconnected from home. And until I launched it, I really see the need and the value of such a product. So our origin story is around our Māori gods, our Atua Māori. And tuku tuku starts way back to our Atua Māori. And so the story goes that before we were in Te Ao Marama, the world of light that we live in, we used to be in Te Pō, the darkness. And then we went into Te Kore, the nothingness. And we were in complete darkness. And we had this whare, this house called Hui Te Rangi Ora. And inside this house were all these tuku tuku designs, all these tuku tuku panels, which is tuku tuku is a weaving technique where you have like a lattice-like structure and you use fibers to create cross-stitch patterns, which all tell different stories of our atua and our environment. And so one of our main gods is Tāne Mahuta, more commonly known as the god of the forest. But he would go into this house and he would see these tuku tuku. And because we were in the dark still, he wanted to find ways to bring light into the world. And so he would throw these tuku tuku patterns into the sky and they would make our star constellations.
Wow, it goes back to that.
He trips over this woven basket. And these stars become Te Whānau Marama, which is the family of light. And these stars had these little flickers. And these are the stars that we see when it's the Māori New Year. Globally, it's known as Pleiades. And yeah, so tuku tuku started way before we did. And so growing up, although I had grown up in this traditional ancestral house at Whānau Waitete Marae, you know, that was my classroom as a kid, I'd never really grasped that tukutuku came from our atua Māori. We were raised with all who they were and what they did and where they are a part of us. I guess I was still a young child, but I didn't make the connection that tukutuku had come from our gods. And so when I learnt that, I knew there was a need to teach our people that, you know, so that they knew where they came from and how deep our knowledge is. And then so my work is to bring back the symbolism and the storytelling of these patterns that have been lost for a long time. And in doing so, what I thought was sort of a craft kit, a sort of an art product, has actually become a more of a well-being tool, a way for mindfulness, bringing people together, clearing the space. When it comes to talking about hard issues, I sort of do workshops for suicide prevention, for schools, workplaces. And it's sort of knowing how much well-being, how much oranga I bring for people, is sort of how I got past the profiting and the monetizing of, you know, just one little part of our big vast knowledge.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. I really, really appreciate that. And so these are traditionally hung in houses, right? The patterns. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And so in addition to selling online, which you're still doing, you started to talk about it. Where have you taken this since the initial explosion of interest? What are you doing now?
I launched during COVID. And so at that time, we were filling that sort of gap where we were stuck at home and our marae were also closed. So it was a bit of a like reconnection tool. People would Zoom together doing their tukutuku, things like that. And then sort of going out of COVID, we bulk sell our product to social services, district health boards, tribal entities, schools and workplaces. And they use it for any number of reasons, from gifting to personal development, workshops. The number of awesome kaupapa that have been made through my product is like really inspiring. So yeah, I sell about almost a half to bulk sales. And then in the last sort of 2 months leading up to Christmas, I've just started wholesaling. So yeah, I'm just dotted around different towns throughout New Zealand. And this week I'm looking at warehouses, commercial spaces, because I'm a solo mum of two girls who are 3 and 5. So I have worked from home the whole time. We use a little girl guide hall around the corner from our home on average once a month to bulk pack all our toy kits. And then, yeah, I just ship most days to my wholesalers and my buyers. But we're on our sort of summer, like our long break. And so I've been in my traditional homeland and I've been having little markets. So, yeah, I've just been going to little markets, opening up my boot with my stripe machine and, yeah, doing that. We have a interesting new government, which I sort of look at the positives in that it has mobilized our people to come together. We have Waitangi Day coming up, which is the day that the Treaty of Waitangi was signed, the 6th of February. So we have lots of kaupapa on over the next 2-3 weeks. Just bringing our voices together. Traditionally, we were all sub-tribes, but in sort of post-colonization, we have come together as one people. A lot of that is driven by my peers. All of us who have gone through kura kaupapa, we're kind of called the kohanga reo generation, because that started in the early 80s, 82. We're sort of all coming to the age now where we're now sort of members of parliament, CEOs, lawyers, accountants, and teachers, and yeah, every sort of industry. And now we're just bringing together all our skills in terms of our different areas that we are in for that collective goal of bringing our people together. And one of the common lines or sayings is making mokopuna decisions. So mokopuna are our grandchildren, and naturally we are always thinking ahead and how we can leave a better world for our children, grandchildren, and so forth.
Well, you've been gracious about the new government because they're very conservative and quite advocating for not what I would consider the best treatment of the indigenous people who were there originally. But what you're saying is this is bringing you closer together to advocate. That is a positive outcome of what's going on. Hopefully, you will be able to do some things that will be beneficial, right?
Yeah, I don't think that's something we've naturally been able to do over the last few decades. We come together for common causes at times. But yeah, I think, yeah, this government has really annoyed us somewhat. And having the skills to read through all those policies and having the asset base and capital to sue the government now, we have proceedings now where we can sue.
Yay!
Because they're breaching our treaty settlements.
Yes, I know.
You know, so it's all of that, you know, all the fruits of going through Kura Kaupapa and, you know, all our grandparents who lost, literally had their language beaten out of them. But I know for a lot of us, all of our grandparents did not agree for us to go through these total immersion schooling because of the trauma they suffered.
Of course, yeah, makes sense.
And their kids were sort of a little bit more activists, and then they didn't want their children to have to, I guess, grow up without their language and culture and customs. Our generation has a little less trauma, but we all know with all Indigenous people, it is a intergenerational trauma, whether we are wealthy or well, because we live collectively. Even in our own homes, we do share all of our pains of our people. I'm really excited to see what comes, because we have a big gathering actually this weekend where the Māori King has all called us to Tūranga Waiwai. And yeah, we have buses coming from all over the country, and that really excites me. Because yeah, it's quite hard to bring our people together, but man, we were all hoha about the, we were all annoyed about the same thing. You know, we know where we need to be. And I know through my work how it really helps with hard conversations. So it's like a cross-stitch type craft kit. And yeah, there's something just about the repetition of the weaving that really clears your mind of all the other noise that comes with life, so that you can really focus on whatever is sort of in front of you. So at Waitangi this year, I'll be doing a big tukutuku where people can come and help me complete this piece. And I'll likely gift it to one of the local groups in Waitangi. So yeah, I really enjoy my work in terms of finding a balance between being an entrepreneur and following my life work and passions. So yeah, I'm just really content with that.
I'm so, so happy. And I'm really, thank you for letting people from Coralis understand that this is so much more than a craft kit, right? It's like, yes, it is, and you can enjoy it, and you've gifted some to me, and I and Finn is using them, and they're beautiful, and but there's so much behind it, and what you're doing. Actually, you're an activist. You're an activist, and this is your tool.
The artivist, they called an artivist.
Artivist. I love that. That's definitely you. And I'm personally, because I'm working with you this year, which is really just getting started, I feel so honored to be able to accompany you on this journey of your artivism, continuing your artivism. And so I'm looking forward to what this year in Coralis will bring to you.
Me too.
Is there anything that you either haven't asked for of our community, or something that you want our community to know about in this moment?
I do actually have an ask. I didn't really think ahead of this, but if there were any Shopify gurus or website gurus, I would like to get ready to export. I am struggling to figure out how to open it up to other countries. I currently ship nationwide and to Australia, I've been doing it manually to England a few times, but I actually have more visibility or people looking at my website from the States. So yeah, if there were any people in that area that would be able to help me.
We can definitely find your Shopify group.
That would be wonderful. Yeah, I had an amazing meeting with Cindy last week. That really kicked me into gear for the year. That was such a great meeting. She really broke things down for me really well. And so, yeah, I'll be definitely working a lot with her this year as well. But yeah, any Shopify gurus or the like, please reach out to me. Awesome.
Yes, we can get you that. And yes, and if anyone, so often I was referring to Cindy Warner Beck, who is our venture CFO, works with each venture when they are selected to help them with their finances and understand, really, really understand deeply their numbers. So I'm glad to hear that that was useful. And so how can people reach you if they want to buy a kit or learn more about you or suggest connect you?
So my website is fatucreative.com, which is WHATU creative CREATIVE.com. And my email is afina, AWHINA at fatucreative.com.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Ripples of Radical Generosity podcast. Let us know what you thought of the episode and share this podcast with your friends. We invite you to join a global community of radically generous women and non-binary folks at www.corliss.world.